Penguin Random House Audio presents Sadness, Love, Openness, The Buddhist Path of Joy by Chökyinma Rinpoche, read for you by Richard Gere. Deep sadness, because nothing lasts. Fervent love, because all beings are my beloved family. Lucid openness, because this ordinary mind is full awakening. Sheer joy, because all of this is true. Introduction. In Buddhism, gaining concrete first-hand experience with the instructions is paramount. If we are searching for freedom and awakening, treating topics such as impermanence and suffering, love and compassion, or insight into the nature of the mind as abstract concepts is not sufficient. The only way to truly understand these crucial points is through direct experience. Only then will the Dharma be applicable and truly effective. What are the experiences that the teachings of the Buddha are founded on? They are sadness, love, and openness. Although they appear to be quite different, sadness and openness are in fact intimately connected. The profound sadness that overwhelms us when we understand the impermanent nature of all phenomena opens us up to the world around us. We open our hearts and begin to notice our fellow beings. We see how we all must face the hardships of life. We understand the fleeting nature of our joys, and we become aware of how much worry, pain, and suffering we all go through in our lives. In this way, we realize that we all share similar painful experiences. Knowing what others go through and feel, we cannot help but sympathize with them, and the wish to help and protect our fellow beings naturally wells up in us. This wish to help and protect arises from love, and the more we open our eyes to others' suffering and delusion, the stronger our love becomes. Love clears the mind of the thick fog of desire, anger, and ignorance. Love is like the sun that burns through the fog, dissolving it until only vast openness and clarity remain. When nothing but boundless openness and lucidity remain, we come face to face with the basic nature of all phenomena beyond concepts. Still, as thoughts reemerge, the fog inevitably reappears. But now we know from our own experience that freedom and awakening are always right here within us. This realization gives rise to an indescribable joy. We have experienced for ourselves that awakening is a genuine option for us and for everyone else. How wonderful! The heartfelt wish that everyone may awaken to true freedom is born in us and consumes us to the point where our attachment and delusion seem to dissolve naturally. All the while, we see the world for what it is, utterly impermanent and painful, and our sadness grows ever more profound. Yet our sadness is now accompanied by genuine love and affection, and a deep sense of responsibility brought on by the certainty that if we simply stay on course, we will be able to make a true and lasting difference everywhere we go. This is how sadness, love, and openness sustain Dharma practitioners. Sadness. Setting out. We all know the importance of having the proper attitude when we begin a new project. This book is about the Dharma, the teachings of the Buddha. And when working with the Dharma, it's important to be motivated by a particular wish. It is important to feel that as we learn and train, we want the outcome to be useful and beneficial for everyone, for all beings. Therefore, at this point, it would be good to think like this. What I am about to do now is something that has the power to overcome all my negative emotions and confused thoughts. It will lead me along a path that leads from one joyful moment to another, the direct way to liberation and awakening. I want to share that joy with all beings. Thinking like this changes us right away. It calms us down and relaxes us. It makes us open up to others, and we begin to notice the sadness and pain that everyone carries with them. Such a mind that truly cares about the well-being and happiness of others is a beautiful garden where flowers of wisdom and insight can bloom. What we live for. Buddhism views this life as just one among many. This current life began when we were born, and it will end when one day we die. During this life, we rely on certain things to keep us from harm and to support us. As small children, we rely on our parents for safety and comfort. As we grow up, we go to school and receive an education, trusting that this will be good for us. When at some point we feel we have learned enough, we look for a job that can pay our bills and afford us entertainment and fun. We rely on all these things, along with our family, friends, possessions, and social standing, to give structure to our lives and make us happy. Actually, everything we do is motivated by the search for happiness. Nothing lasts. As we look for happiness, however, we often find that our situation ends up quite different from what we actually wanted. The reason we end up with that experience is that everything in this world occurs due to something else. In other words, nothing exists independently. Buddhism refers to this as conditioned existence, and conditioned existence is characterized by being impermanent. We may be very intelligent people who have accomplished a lot, or maybe we're just lucky and everything is naturally going our way. In any case, nothing stays the same, and sooner or later the winds of fortune shift. Suddenly we find ourselves in a radically different situation. Throughout it all, we keep getting older, and one day we will die and be no more. This may sound a bit harsh, but it's a simple fact of life. And if we are willing to face facts, we are already opening up to something that is much greater than our usual concerns. The meaning of life. We wish so much for our lives to be meaningful, and many of us think that a meaningful life is something we can work toward through certain events that we can experience, things we can acquire, or people we can meet. But what are we really looking for? What is actually achievable in this life? What do we get out of all the things we do? When this life is over, we can't take anything with us. Forget about money and possessions, we can't even bring the people we love the most. This life culminates in a forced and final separation from everything and everyone we have ever loved and held dear. We have pushed ourselves so hard to get something out of this life. We have been swimming in a sea of thoughts and ideas. And maybe we have achieved a lot. Maybe we have money in the bank. Perhaps we are popular and have plenty of friends and a loving family. But whatever we might have, we will have to bid it all farewell on the day death comes knocking on our door. Think carefully. Have you achieved everything you wanted? Is everything just the way it should be? If the answer is yes, then all is fine and well. But very few people are perfectly happy and content with their lives. To use a Tibetan expression, such people are as rare as stars in the daytime sky. Let's be honest, we all know the nagging feeling that something is missing, that things aren't as good as they should be, the feeling that our life should be better. Thoughts and emotions. The way our minds work makes it quite impossible to be content. We are controlled by our thoughts, which are restless. They're always fluctuating, never capable of resting in calmness, joy, and contentment, which are simply not in the nature of thoughts. There's always a nagging feeling that something's not good enough, a voice whispering to us that everything would be much better if only. Thinking automatically creates a perception of things as not being quite right. We're never truly at ease, because we remain incapable of appreciating the present moment just as it is. There's always something we wish for and something else we want to avoid. We keep shifting between hope and fear, which in turn create other emotions, emotions that can grow strong and destructive. Take attachment and aversion, for instance. When attachment and aversion begin to shape our consciousness, it is only a matter of time before they will drive us to act. Sooner or later, we will go for what we desire and try to avoid what we dislike. In fact, anything we think, say, or do is the expression of the emotions that roam about our consciousness. and such act.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?